once, you know, you're on the ballot, you just hope you get in. You know, it doesn't matter when or how. You know, one thing about us as players, once we retire, we're done. There's nothing we can do to patent our stats or, you know, make it even sweeter or better for the writers to see. You know, my career started in Montreal. I spent 13 years there, and it's only fitting that I go in as an Expo.
There is no higher honor one can achieve in their sport than being called by the Hall. And earlier this week, Tim Raines, one of three players to hear that, get that phone call. He will go into the Baseball Hall of Fame. He will be wearing a Montreal Expos hat. And for many of us, it was a very exciting and a very proud moment. A team that, unfortunately, we lost a number of years ago, but still, some of us just still love. And indeed a pleasure for us as we go down the South Street Burger guest hotline, someone who, along with that team, is much beloved in this country. Dave Van Horn, who was the voice of the Montreal Expos from 1969 to 2000 and had his own name called by the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame in 2014, kind enough to join us today. Dave, how are you, sir?
Doing very well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, no, thank you for doing this. And before we get to the news of the week, I'm just curious, you work still calling in baseball, you're still working around a baseball team with the Marlins, but is it still kind of unique to have the tie to the Expos, that there's Expos news this week, so phone calls are made to Dave Van Horn? Is it still kind of neat to be part of that?
Oh, of course. I spent almost half my adult life broadcasting Expos baseball, 32 years there. And lived in Montreal from 1969 through 1982. In 83, I moved back into the States, but continued to do the Expos games through the 2000 season. So, of course, I feel a strong tie there, not only to the Expos and the players and the teams that I broadcast for, but for the baseball fans all across the country who took Duke and I into their homes and it was a challenge to break in Major League Baseball across Canada, and I think Duke and I rose to that challenge and acquired a lot of fans along the way for the game.
Are you at all surprised by even now? I mean, you know, more than a decade since the team left Montreal and left Canada, that, you know, news come down involving a former Expos, and it's still a big thing, that there's still lots of fans and lots of memories. You know, it hasn't really faded away like maybe some might have thought it could.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I was convinced the last week or 10 days that this was going to be Rock's time. I had every belief that he was going to get in, yet I had MLB TV on, and I watched the live announcement when the president of the Hall of Fame, Jeff Idelson, read Tim's name. I mean, I had tears in my eyes. It's a strong tie that I've had not only to that franchise, but to so many of those players, especially the homegrown Expos who came out of that wonderful farm system that was put together in the 70s and came up and played together in the late 70s and early to mid 80s.
Tell me, Dave, about Tim Raines. And I know you've been asked a million questions, but what's the, you know, maybe the question you haven't been asked, the story you want to tell about Tim now that this news has become, you know, come to life this week?
Well, I think that the thing that strikes me with Tim is, one, his overall athletic ability and how he became an outstanding baseball player by working hard and becoming a terrific left fielder, not just an everyday player, but an all-star left fielder, an all-star caliber person. And so I think of his body of work, first of all, but the thing, of course, that caught our eye early was the bat and the speed. And here was this guy who was an outstanding football player at Sanford and chose baseball because he knew that he was too small for, perhaps he could have played small college ball, but he was too small to dream of going on to the NFL. But he was good enough athletically and baseball-wise to know that he could, with hard work, become a terrific baseball player and get to the big leagues, and he did. And that all stands out to me with Tim Raines. On a daily basis, it was so exciting to watch him play and how everybody in the ballpark would get excited every time he came to the plate, every time he got on base.
I'll come back to the base or the game part of it, but as a teammate, as part of that group, part of that community, what was his role as an Expo? What part of the team was he?
Keeping everybody loose. He was a lot of fun. He joked with everybody. He and Andre Dawson probably did more to unify everybody within that clubhouse and prevent cliques from forming. Cliques form, I think, in every sure. sport, in every major league locker room and clubhouses everywhere. But they did such a terrific job keeping everybody united and everybody together. So many of them came up together. They knew what the hard times were in the minor leagues, riding those buses and playing in the Florida State League in the heat of the summer, and then getting on a bus after the game and driving for 8 or 10 hours before they'd get to go to bed. And they all went through that together and got to the big leagues at about the same time. So there was a very special feeling in that Expos clubhouse. And the Hawk and Tim Raines and Gary Carter, all of them yep. Hall of Famers, and they were all a big part of keeping everything right in that clubhouse.
Dave Van Horn, voice of the Montreal Expos, our guest down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline, as we're talking about Tim Raines going into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Back to the field we go. You've seen them all. I mean, where does he fit for you in terms of leadoff, man? I think it comes down to him and Ricky Henderson, doesn't it, in this conversation?
Well, I think Ricky gets the nod, certainly. But for the National League, I think Tim Raines, for his time, for a 10-year period, was the most dominant leadoff batter and an exciting player to boot. So, yeah, that's where I put him. Now, in terms of the Expos players, that's yeah. the hardest thing I have to do when somebody says to me, well, who was your favorite player? I had favorites in different eras, and certainly Rusty Staub was a big favorite of mine and a good friend, and then Steve Rogers, and then into that farm system when they started to come up one after another, whether it was Gary Carter or Andre Dawson or Larry Parrish, Tim Raines to follow. All of those players came up. Ellis Valentine, Warren Cromartie, right. Jerry White. They all came up in about the same time frame, and they're all very special to me, as are those that followed, the Andres Galarragas, the Larry Walkers, the Vladimir Guerreros.
When you look back on Raines' kind of journey to the Hall, why, from this is your sport, you know better. I'm just from the outside looking in, but you're a baseball guy. Why did the journey to the Hall take so long for a player like Tim Raines?
I remember Duke Snyder asking me that question. Dave, why has it taken me 11 years to get into the Hall of Fame, 11 years of eligibility? There are some pretty good players that waited a long, long time to get into the Hall when they thought they might be first, second, or third ballot guys. I think with Tim Raines, I'm not sure what the problem was as far as the voters are concerned. Of course, I don't have a vote. But when the baseball writers sit down and get together and vote on me, I don't know why it took them so long. And even Raines has questioned to a degree, what did I do in the last 4, 3, 2 years to all of a sudden vault myself into a position where one more good year of voting and I'd get in, which happened this year. He said, I didn't play another game after I retired. My numbers didn't get any better. I wasn't capable of producing anymore, and I was out of the game. But somehow, in the eyes of some voters, I got better and better. I think a lot of voters ignored Tim while he was in the heat of battle. And then suddenly, when some questions were brought up about his eligibility for the Hall of Fame, they took a look and said, well, my goodness, there are only four players in the history of the game that stole more bases than Raines, and they're all in the Hall of Fame. The on-base numbers are terrific. His stolen base percentage, success percentage is terrific. He was an all-star, a perennial all-star. And I think just in recent years, he got the attention that he deserved. But that having been said, The wait at times might have been painful for him, but that's all forgotten now. He's had said so himself, and I knew that would happen. As soon as he would get in, he would forget all about how long it took, because this is so special. He's so overwhelmed and so honored by the award. The last thing he's thinking about is the amount of time it took him to get there.
Dave Van Horn, our guest down the South Street Burger guest hotline. We're talking about Tim Raines, the Montreal Expos. Raines going to the Hall of Fame. I want to ask you, and I don't know if it's a prickly question in baseball, but I want to ask you about Jonah Carey and his role in this. Joan, of course, wrote the book, and you played a role in that book, Up and Away, about the Montreal Expos. I know you've done his podcast, but he's been a very vocal proponent in all medias about Tim Raines. Did he have a role to play in this in any way?
Well, I think he did in recent years. I wouldn't take that away from Jonah, because he traveled a lot, not only to promote his book, but in doing so, he promoted Tim Raines as well. But so did Andre Dawson, and several other current Hall of Famers started to talk up Tim Raines, especially in the last, I'd say 3 to 5 years. And all of a sudden, there was this groundswell of support and attention given to Tim and his numbers and his accomplishments. And I know that, as a matter of fact, there are some writers that whose eyes were absolutely popped when they heard some of the numbers and some of the stats related to Raines. When it came out, Tracy Ringlesby came out with a note, and I think it was Tracy's note, but it might have been someone else. Anyway, the note is important, not who wrote it. The fact that Tim Raines in his career got on base more than Tony Gwynn did.
Yeah.
Well, on that alone, the late, great Tony Gwynn, being a Hall of Famer, how can you ignore somebody that got on base more than Tony did? Only had one batting championship, Tim Raines. Of course, Tony had multiple. But still, the numbers were there to support his candidacy, and we're just all glad that it's happened, and I'm sure everybody in Expos Nation is happy and thrilled that it happened.
Agreed. Could Tim Raines, the way he played, the way he stole bases, his aggression, would it translate into the game today, Dave?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, you just it's difficult to develop that kind of speed. You're either born with it or, you know, some people can develop the ability to steal bases in moderate numbers because they get such good coaching instruction mm-hmm. these days, how to take a lead, when to go, when not to go, who to run on, who not to run on, the study of pitchers, all of the things that go into making a good base stealer. So there's more information out there, and certainly players with less than the natural ability that Tim Raines had can put up decent numbers in stolen bases. But when you look back at what Raines did, it's just it's incredible. His success rate and the numbers, leading the league multiple times, and it is very exciting. He would have blown out the rookie record, and who knows what other records in his rookie year, which was 1981, marred by a 55-day player strike in 1981. That cost Raines. It may have cost him Rookie of the Year honors. As good as he was that first year, Rookie of the Year honors went to Fernando Valenzuela, who had a great rookie year. And right. Raines finished second in that voting. But, no, the speed was there right from the start. There's that old saying in baseball, speed has no slump. And Raines was a marvel on the bases.
Well, Dave, you just reminded us Expos fans that labor issues in baseball cost us more than just 94. That's okay. That's good.
Sure.
Yeah. Just a couple more for you. So Raines is in. Are we waiting on any other Expos that would go in that, you know, would be predominantly remembered as Expos? Is there anybody else out there?
Vladimir Guerrero came so close this year.
Right.
So he came close. I think it's going to happen for Vlad. And I think it'll happen next year. I'd be shocked if Vladimir and Trevor Hoffman didn't go in next year. I'm hoping that we can witness the same kind of groundswell of support for the best Canadian player I got to see on a daily basis, Larry Walker. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping now that there'll be a groundswell of support for Larry, who has terrific numbers and was a marvelous player. So, yeah, I would say number one right now, Vladimir Guerrero.
My last one for you. I should really be more professional in this interview and less of a fan, but the Expos are really the last team that I ever cheered for, so I still consider myself. Should I be, as a fan, excited when I hear Rob Manfred, you know, speak positively about Montreal? Should I be excited as an Expos fan when I see, you know, the stands fill up in Montreal for exhibition games with the Jays? Is it a possibility it could go back?
There was a time just a few years ago when I would have told you it's never going to happen, and I've changed my mind on that. I think it's going to take some time.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to happen overnight, and it's going to take a ton of money and a major commitment by the people with the wherewithal to get a downtown retractable roof stadium built and then get a franchise. That begs the question, which comes first? I don't know. I can't answer that. But we do know this, that on a temporary basis, they could play for a time while a new ballpark was under construction. They could play for a time in Olympic Stadium. But Major League Baseball does not want to go back to Olympic Stadium on a permanent basis in Montreal. That failed as a baseball venue, and they don't want to go back there. It's one thing to sell out 60,000 seats for a weekend of
sure.
exhibition games, two games. It's another to get that support, not only from the fans to go to the ballpark, whether the ballpark seats 38,000 or 42,000, whatever it would seat, but also the corporate and government support that'll be needed to make it a viable and successful franchise.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this. Thank you, because I know we're not the only Canadian radio station that is called. Thank you for doing all the interviews this week, Dave, because, of course, you know, for us Expos fans, you are the link, and you know, he finally got in. So it's a big week, and I don't get to do this. So I'm going to also thank you for being one of my voices as a child, watching the Expos and growing up. It was always a pleasure. It was always an honor to listen to you work, sir. Thank you for spending some time today, Dave.
Thank you for those nice words. I appreciate it, and feel free to call anytime.
Thanks, Dave. We'll take you up on that. Be well.
Okay.
Dave Van Horn joining us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Savor a juicy burger with 100% Angus beef and a hand-scooped milkshake. Visit their new location now open in East Hills, 17th Avenue Southeast and Stony Trail.